Yeah. Banigani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, and former Compton College Board of Trustee member, as well as the Compton Unified School District. We want to welcome you here to Conscious Corner. We have a very, very outstanding program this evening by Brother Kwamanon, and he's going to introduce us to a information pertaining to the new animated Good Times presentation, whereas his views, as well as we share and endorse his views, that it's deprivation and destructive to the minds and the culture of African people. So Brother Kwamanon is a strong advocate and activist and one who studied the music of our people and questions he raises about how legitimate it is and how detrimental it is to us from the standpoint of gangster rap, misogynist rap, and other kind of raps that start to influence adults and youth into negative behavior and give the world an image of us that this is what we are about. And so he's been a strong critic of that. And he's from the coast that's the most called the East Coast. And he's coming to you from Chicago. And Brother Kwamanon is going to go ahead and make his presentation. So I want you to listen carefully. Open your mind, because there's going to be some courageous, courageous questions and some deep thought that went into this presentation. Go ahead, Brother Kwamanon.
Right on, Brother Sante Sana, for allowing us to be here with you all in the Community Education Network. We, with social media today, they give you stuff that happened every year. You can see your memory. And I was looking at my memory from 4 years ago, and I was pointing out how there was a song that was number one in 5 different countries. Because I just thought about this when you said how this stuff is affecting us around the world. But 5 different countries called Rockstar. It was by a rapper called DaBaby. And this song, the dude said, my 2-year-old's a G. She saw me shoot an N at, you know, she saw me shoot an N. And I'll shoot another one too. And he raps about him, run up on his N squeezing. And just a horrible song about mopping them up with the gun. And this song was number one again in 5 different countries before it was even introduced as a single around here. Just to go over just how crazy this music is today. And that's just like the norm. When we were with you all last time, we closed out trying to really get in and talk about how Puff Daddy or Puffy Combs was in trouble for beating up Cassie, and the video came out about how he beat up his ex-girlfriend. I don't think he was married to her, but how he beat her up in a hotel room, chased her down, and he had already evidently given her a black eye or something and punched her. And so he's getting a lot of flack, but there's songs out constantly that do the same thing. There's a song by this guy named Gucci Mane where he talks about, it's called, I'm a dog, 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 I'm a dog. I'm gonna treat her like a dog, beat her like a dog, feed her like a dog, and pass her to my dogs. That's the chorus of the song. Treat her like a dog, feed her like a dog, beat her like a dog,
wow,
and pass her to my dogs. That's in the chorus. They played it on the radio. And so when we see Puff doing what he did, you know, this is what we talk about. When we see Dr. Dre years ago beat Sister Dee Barnes, you know, like he did, and evidently Michelle, the singer, got hit several times by him and Shug Knight. She said, given 3 black eyes by them. And, you know, but they may, I guess Shug's in jail now, but Dr. Dre is a billionaire. They named the NAACP named a Global Achievement Award in honor of him just recently. And there's even songs out. I mentioned DaBaby earlier in that song that came up in my feed, but he had a song out a couple years ago from Spot'em Got'em, where he talked about, I'm a piss in a cup and tell her it's lemonade. And there's even a song out currently from Kanye West called Carnival, where he brags about she gonna have to drink the urine. And I heard this on the radio the other day. That song has core in the chorus of that song, which was number one in the country earlier this year for African youth. And I say youth, I mean that seriously, because I was with a family cousin of mine who was in high, he just graduated from high school, and was talking to him about what he was listening to in his earpieces. And he during that conversation, he said one of his favorite rappers was Kanye West. And I asked him, did he know the song Carnival? He says yes. And I said, well, you know, I know the lyrics. And he got quiet. But when you look at the lyrics to that song, the chorus in that song, entitled Carnival, and we know all know who enjoys the carnival the most. Children. She gives H like the honor roll. Who makes the honor roll? Children. She rides the D like a carnival. That's in the chorus of that song, where he goes on to say, and they took all that out. When I heard it on the radio the other day, all that was beeped out. But when you hear the when they kept on playing, I was listening, drink the urine was not beeped out. That's not a curse word, but they're saying drink the urine on the song, number one song in the country for our children. So this misogyny, this stuff continues. I mentioned the baby, the image of the baby is spread all around the country. I heard the song was in, when I was in Ghana on my, I think it was my last trip there. I was in Ghana. They were playing the song. No, trip before last when I was there, playing that song, Rockstar. And so the baby is depicted also in this ratchet minstrel show reboot of the sitcom Good Times that came out 50 years ago. It debuted in 1974. And some people have issues with it, some didn't, but it was a family struggling, battling to survive in the projects, the infamous Cabrini-Green projects just north of downtown Chicago. 5 years after the assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton and defense captain Mark Clark in Chicago, this is the depiction of these brothers and sisters and this family struggling to survive in Chicago. It was a comedy, so we laughed at it, but there were messages in just about every show episode. So they decided a few years ago they were going to do a reboot on Netflix. And what they came out with is a disaster. It debuted on April 12th, but the trailer debuted in March. And the trailer was so full of madness and racist tropes and all kind of stuff that the people did not like it. As of the other day, I looked at it again. It had 7.6K thumbs up. 7.6K people were in approval of it. Now, when you look at the trailer on YouTube, you have to do something to get the people who are disapproving of it. Disapproval was over 75,000. Over 75,000 people said they didn't like this. They gave it a thumbs down. So 10-to-1 ratio of people who don't like it as compared to people who like it. And we find this significant because, as you shared earlier, we spent a lot of time and a lot of energy, not just us, but others too, coming down hard on this ratchet music that we just talked about. And it just, while the people understand how bad it is, it hasn't been getting the, our outrage is not there where we really put a stop to it. Because I'm amazed. Not only am I amazed every time I hear this crap that it's still on, but I'm amazed that we haven't stopped it yet. I was talking to Attorney LeGrand Clegg earlier today, and we were just talking about how we, you know, back in the day, who would have thought that that if you play 13 songs on the radio an hour, 12 of them gonna drop the N-bomb on you. 11 of them gonna call our women folk, our daughters, our mamas, our sisters, our girlfriends, our wives, B's and H's. 10 of them gonna tell us to kill each other. And this is happening on radio stations all around the country that's pushed to the masses of our people. And so still, not a lot of pushback. I mean, they got a whole pass from they got a whole pass, as far as we're concerned, from the Never Again movement, from the Time's Up movement, from the Me Too movement. Slop Hop got a pass. Now it was slowly but surely getting some of them, but it's just crazy that it continues, still continues. But this, with the people's voiced outrage about this Netflix reboot, this minstrel reboot of Good Times, I think the people are really just saying no, enough is enough. So we hooked up with CMOTAP, which is the Committee to Eliminate Media Offensive to African People. And the founders, Sister Betty Dobson, the co-chair right now with Miss Betty Dobson, that's Brother James McIntosh, and also Simotep West, our Brother LeGrand Clegg, and Brother Lynn Moses, and others out there on the West Coast. And so Simotep, of course, was also outraged at this. And Simotep is the committee to eliminate media offensive to African people. We had Dr. James McIntosh. He was supposed to be with us today, so he had a scheduling conflict.
He's on.
Oh, he is on with us? Okay. Okay, good. Okay, he's on with us. Right on. He's on with us. And so we wanted to share an open letter that Dr. McIntosh sent to Ted Sarandos, who's the co-chief executive officer of Netflix. And a brother, if he's on, I don't know if you want to share it since you're here, if you want me to read it too, because I do have it up. I can read it.
I see his picture. You're on mute.
Okay.
He's on mute. I don't know why.
I mentioned earlier, he said, I'll go ahead and read it if he comes in.
No, you can do it. Go ahead, Brother Kwame. You got it. It's good.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll try to imitate your voice, but I don't think I can do that. So I just read it. I've read it several times on places, but this is a very important letter. And hopefully we may be able to talk about it with us as soon as we're done too.
I wish we could put it up on sharing the screen.
We probably could. Let me I'll make a copy of it. I'll copy the letter, and then I'll send it to our brother. Rasky. Okay. But it's, oh, you mean while I read the letter? You know, if we can do that. So I'm trying to think. There's also a video. Maybe we can show the video and then we'll come back and read the letter.
All
and
right.
Then by that time I can get the letter up to him.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
And as our brother gets ready to show the video, again, when I mentioned the baby and his two-year-old daughter watching him shoot somebody, this cartoon animation has a two-year-old drug dealer in it. And he gets shot at by the baby and a couple other rappers. So here's okay, I see he has it ready to do the video. So let's air this video. This brother Samson and Tyga did this video. Our brother Ra, we were on a show with them. Good brothers. Ra works with us with the National Black.
Jimmy Walker came to them and he presented a cartoon about 5 years before this when the trailer came out. We saw it and everybody was like, no, no, no.
Netflix, yeah, you ought to be ashamed. Renata Shepherd, yeah, you ought to be ashamed. Shame. When the original aired, not many looked like me on the screen. Black faces far few in between. A black family with a father was rare. Matter of fact, this was the first time Hollywood dared to have a head of the household married with three kids. A cinematic accomplishment apart from where they would live. There was Jane, Florida, JJ, Thelma, and Mike. JJ got real popular saying,
Dynamite!
In a heartwarming, hilarious sitcom with a father doing his best and a mother trying to clean up the mess. The oldest son was a struggling artist battling many hardships in the midst of making us laugh. Not an easy task. Ten only sisters saw education at value. The younger brother was a militant little pharaoh. How can you do a reboot for this? If it ain't right, everybody gonna be pissed.
Not bad,
meaning bad,
but bad,
meaning good.
Not bad,
meaning bad,
but bad,
meaning good.
Not bad,
meaning bad,
but bad,
meaning good.
There are two roads out of the ghetto. So far, we have managed to stay on the right road.
Word, new word. Cast members are bats and roaches, baby selling crack, executives hoping that we didn't notice.
Yep.
Belligerent, bogus, totally unacceptable. Pardon, even the visual arts less than exceptional. Left the project 50 years ago. 50 years later, they back in the same building that ain't there no more. Wasn't no Florida more. Moving next to Wilona, and Thelma's husband got a new contract. Show me where they at. Who wanna see this taking 20 step back mentality? In the projects crammed with food stamps and agony. They got an ulterior motive to paint our people as hopeless. The only brothers they wanna see get supported is Jonas. We're tired of the aroma. You can smell in the slump for it to be continued to what was originally done.
Not bad,
meaning bad,
but bad,
meaning good.
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 Due to the decision. Our people made a petition. Woo! To get this nonsense removed from the boot tube. Nah, it ain't cool. How can it even be called a reboot? With ethics in the original, but undercurrent subliminal messages in the new one. Along with blunt ignorance. Let's band together, get it removed. Do our due diligence. Diligence. Hold the creators accountable for the content. In 2024, we won't accept this nonsense. As the role is rolling over in her grave. Thinking, how was this ratchet animated series ever made?
This is given by the white people, made up by white people. Black community is different. It has a different language and culture altogether.
If you don't talk like we talk, see it like we see it, stop telling our story incorrectly up on the screen.
Not
the screen.
Bad,
but bad.
Meaning good.
Not bad.
Meaning bad.
But bad.
Meaning good.
Not bad.
Meaning bad.
But bad.
Meaning good.
There's so much stuff being offered on television. You got 500 channels with nothing on most of them. You know, repetition of the same old thing. Replications of shows that have been successful. That's become the norm. If a show succeeds with one knucklehead, then let's do a show with five knuckleheads. It doesn't work.
Right on. And again, them some brothers, I mean, That's an example too of the conscious hip hop that's out there. We again, like you said, Professor, we go really in hard on this ratchet, kill black people, in bomb dropping music. But there are several artists out there still who are making good quality music that uplifts the masses. Them brothers got a song called Marcus Mosiah Garvey, man, that's cold, that we play on our show that talks about, gives you a history of Marcus Garvey in the music, like the music should do, like it uplifts the people. So, but that's the, I mean, they came up with that. Just real quick for the people to address this issue with this madness is out there, this reboot, this minstrel reboot of Good Times. So I did send a letter to our brother, Russell Conde. I'm not sure if he was able to get it up that quick, so he does have it. But if not, we can still get started with it, if that's okay still. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can you give me the ability to share the screen and I'll put it up?
Oh, okay.
Roger G.
It says hope disabled. Okay, so I'm going to try again. It says host disabled participant screen sharing. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, all right. That's not it. Well, that's a version of it. Who's doing that? Somebody else or me? Because my version is a better, I would just say it's the original. That's one that I sent in the email. The original, it has a picture that's interesting also.
Go ahead. You got the ability to share.
Okay, thank you.
You know, and I know you're about to share it too, but it's interesting too because the sister looked just like her, looks like her daddy and her mama when she showed that picture. I mean, I'm maybe giving it away early of the wife though.
Okay, so share screen. Here it is right here. Do you want to stop entering full screen mode when someone else shares their screen? No, we're good. Can you all see it?
We saw it for a second, then it went away.
I got it.
You got it? Oh.
We have a picture with the sister and the brother, the white man.
Yeah, check the icons and stuff on your screen and see if maybe look for the Zoom icon and see if it comes up.
Yeah, but if everybody else has, that's cool. Because I did see it real quick, then something happened.
Okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to stop the share and share it again. That's all. No problem. Here you go. Share. Bang. Share. How about now?
Yes, I see it now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, there you go. So you want to read it, Brother Quabner?
Oh, man, I don't
have my glasses on.
Oh, okay, cool. But the picture... Wow, her name escapes me, but that's the Music Insider. They did a good documentary on him recently, and I think her mother was killed recently. But that's their daughter, the sister that married this guy Ted Sarandos, who was the co-chief executive officer of Netflix. And in there we have their national corporate headquarters, which is in It's addressed to them at 100 Winchester Circle. These addresses are significant if we need to write these people some more. And that's in Silicon Valley, just south of San Jose, Los Gatos, California. Sir, the purpose of this letter is to express outrage at your ill-advised and ill-named release of Netflix Good Times reboot. This insulting cartoon has only the most superficial and negative relationship to the original Good Times TV series. The claim by some of the creators that this is a satire is so bogus as to not warrant response. The great satirist took on powerful people, not the people in the ostensibly less powerful position. When powerful people such as yourself and Seth MacFarlane portray African people in this way, you are ridiculing us, not satirizing the powerful. Historically, such ridicule often preceded actual violence against the people ridiculed. Hollywood's Birth of a Nation preceded the rebirth of the Ku Klux Klan and Red Summer of 1919, in which more Black people were lynched in America than any other year in its history. That's just one example of that sequence. If you do not understand this reference, Google it. It is not the purpose of this letter to educate you comprehensively. However, we will take the time to review with you seven of the specific offensive messages delivered in your trailer for this series. Number one, message one, Black people are ugly. Portraying the father figure's face with a small cranium and wide jaw in such a way as to fit the template of Megilla Gorilla is not funny. It is part of a longstanding trope of whites making similar references to African people. Ironically, Thomas Jefferson made similar references in his notes on the state of Virginia. We would have thought you would not be guilty of the exact same hypocrisy. Message two, Black people are stupid. Having a father ask his son, is it possible for his daughter to get a disability for her face is not funny. It is ridicule, and in the tradition of another longstanding trope. Message three, Black people are violent and criminal from birth. Portraying Black babies as selling drugs and shooting automatic weapons at each other is not funny. It is all too real. And as we just lost a four-year-old child Memorial Day weekend here in Chicago getting killed. I'm sorry, I just got away from that real quick, but it's for real. Message four, Black people are rude, crude, lewd, hypersexual. Portraying a bug-eyed dog, watch a man with the profile of a gorilla have sex with a Black woman doggy style while slapping her bottom is not funny. It is not satire, it is ridicule. Portraying the Black teacher as an alcoholic, sipping from her flask, nicotine addict, cigarettes in her pocket, pedophile, making sexual loaded comments about one of her students, which is a child, is not funny. Message five, Black people struggle for freedom, justice, and equality is a joke. Using Rosa Parks' name as a rebuke is not funny. Portraying Harriet Tubman having sex with Gwyneth Paltrow as MacFarlane did in earlier cartoons is not satire. It is ridicule and the recurrence of a sick MacFarlane theme. Message six, Black people are worthless. Portraying a Black father telling his children he was dumb for not wearing a condom when his wife conceived them is not satire, it is ridicule. Having your characters call a Black woman the B word or a Black boy the N word is not funny, it is offensive. Message seven, Black people have nothing sacred that whites are bound to respect. Superfluous references to our ancestors. Ridicule of Jesus portrayed as white. Ridicule of Jesus portrayed as Black. And ridicule of God with a Black voice portrayed with lavender and turquoise fingernails. Superfluous references to the ancient African god Anubis and to ancestor Rosa Parks is sacrilege to the main objectives, to the main objects of worship of Black people in America. Please note that it did not go unnoticed how you did not make references to Muhammad Ibn Abdullah or the god Allah in this trailer. You have obviously learned the lesson taught to Salman Rushdie in his ill-advised attempts at humor. True satirists don't generally spare foes they consider dangerous. Bullies do. Since you have released all episodes of this atrocity already and appear to have the intent to leave them available to the public indefinitely, there is no room for negotiation. We're going to exercise our right as a free people to withhold our dollars from your enterprise for as long as you show this outrage and to withhold our dollars for at least an equal amount of time after you stop. And that's from Dr. James McIntosh and Sister Betty Dobson, co-chairs of CEMOTAP.
Strong.
Thank you, Brother Quavin. You read that very well also. I just wanted to point out, I hope you all understood the reference I made to Thomas Jefferson with this guy. So you see, Thomas Jefferson in his notes notes of Virginia Sun, he goes through this whole section on how black is less beautiful than white, how black people stink, how black people don't have the same type of intelligence as whites. He goes through all of that. And yet, of course, he sired several children from a black woman that he owned, and whose wife owned her mother. In fact, his wife's father had the same relationship with Sally Hemings' mother as Jefferson had with Sally. So that means that Sally was actually his sister-in-law. Sally was his wife's sister and was therefore his sister-in-law. In addition, you know, we have the situation, well, I'm not to go off too much into Jefferson, but when I say not guilty of the same hypocrisy, this man is disrespecting black women in the same way that Jefferson did, making simian references to blacks in the same way that Jefferson did, and yet he's married to a black woman, that he's sleeping with a black woman. So there's the hypocrisy right there. Black people are ugly, black people smell, but you're sleeping with ugly, smelly people from when they're 14 years old. And that's, you know, Thomas Jefferson.
And Dr. McIntosh is interesting because another Norman Lear show out around the same time, Jefferson's. We don't know no white folks named Jefferson.
Jefferson. Interesting. Well, yes, brother.
So the piece that you shared also about comparing this to what happened in the Red Summer, 1919, yes, after the Birth of a Nation 106 years ago when that came out.
Right.
And the images of us, Professor Ra was talking about the images and the music, and I mentioned how the baby song was a hit in number one in five different countries. Before it was even released as a single in the U.S. And it became number one out here also that summer, that George Floyd summer, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery summer, when all the uprisings were taking place. And I mean, but the images that it puts, how dangerous that is.
Well, you know, the whole link between media violence and dangerousness, we outlined in that little trailer a little bit. But there are other instances. You remember when they made that movie where in the middle of it, the teenagers lay down on the white line of the highway? I mean, lots of teenagers got killed doing just that right after that movie was made. You see it after that movie, The Wire, where, you know, they fight each other over who's going to control a block and all this sort of stuff. These youngsters over in Brownsville, they're shooting each other up. You know, I'm sure in other places like Chicago and whatnot, shooting each other up over who's running a block, supposedly, when none of them are running the block, actually. But, you know, this link between violence and shown in media and violence, you know, it inures them to it. It disinhibits them from doing it, and it teaches them new ways of doing it. And so this stuff with the automatic weapons and all that, it really isn't funny, and you can expect more of that to be happening as a result of this. I thought it was interesting, the picture you had of Brother Quabena that you showed to that family when you played that song, that when you think of the 3/5 compromise, that black people were rated as being 3/5 of a person, 3/5 of that family didn't have blonde hair. 2/5 of it did. The baby had blonde hair and the mother had blonde hair, which is so different from the original series in which Florence had an afro, in which Michael had an afro. I think there was even a period where the young sister had an afro, yeah. But yeah. So you know, these are very deliberate and pointed changes that were made. They're not an accident. Those changes are not an accident. If you look at the son has his hair in the style of Buckwheat from the Our Gang series.
Wow.
And then if you look at, as I said before, you can take the template of Megilla Gorilla, and he looks just like that. And it's particularly notable with the small cranium, but the big wide jowls. And it's particularly noticeable in the scene in which he's doing it to the blonde wife, doggy style, you know.
Mm.
And then when people just call it, yes, yes, sir.
I'm really looking at the baby here also with the gold pacifier and the money, the drug dealing baby, and the money in his hand, the dollar bill, the bills in his hand.
And, you know, there's all kinds of other abnormal stuff, sexualizing breastfeeding. You know, this is sick. This is particularly European, you know, it's not African, you know, but they want to make it us, and they are ridiculing us with everything they do. You know, satirists like Voltaire and all these guys, you know, they went up against powerful people. They didn't, and when those powerful people came out, they didn't stop. They went out, but these people, they didn't mess with Islam, you know. They're not satirists, they're bullies, because if you showed them that what you hold sacred is serious enough to you, they'll stop doing it. And that's the message that was served to, I think there's very few people want to go around making jokes about Muhammad ibn Abdullah after that Salman Rushdie thing. That guy had to live in hiding for years and years. And even now I'm sure he's looking over his shoulder at times, because they put what they call a fetah out on him, where, you know, it's like saying on sight. You know.
Wow. You know, and the pieces that you show in this in the open letter that you talk about, and that's pretty much just from the trailer. And so we were talking earlier about the outrage or the people who are in disapproval of this, and there's so many reviews of this. There are people who review each episode. So that's one of the ways we were able to see some of that and hear some of the different things that they're showing that even go worse. You know, you talked about the girl in one of the episodes that some of the critics and some of the people are saying is the worst episode ever of any depiction of African family or African people ever. That's when the girl has her first cycle, when she goes to school and has it there, and they have her in her one of her dreams floating or riding in a river of blood on a Kotex. She's riding on the Kotex. They have her writing now her schoolwork in the blood of her menses. There's a depiction they said where she's imagined going on stage twerking. And some of the people who are watching this say, yeah, just twerking's all throughout it. Everybody's twerking. They have the BBL type rear ends on there. They got the girl twerking on stage with some grown women. And then they find out her age, she's 12 years old. So this is even some pedophilia in there, but they got a 12-year-old depicted as twerking.
And the thing is that this constant association of black people with vileness, with lewdness, with despicable things, writing with your period blood and all of this, it's not random. It's not purposeless. It's very purposeful. Because this media goes around the world, and people come from 7,000 miles away already, quote, knowing about us. They don't know a damn thing about us, but they think they know about us because of the things they've seen in these movies. And then they get these comedians. The comedians have all bought into Richard Pryor, you know, cursed and talked about violence because of his upbringing. You know, he had a bad upbringing. He was raised in a whorehouse. But now that is that part of Richard Pryor, which wasn't the best part of Richard Pryor. The best part of Richard Pryor was that he was funny, you know, was that he had a tremendous sense of humor. But they take that, and every comedian now feels that they have to be viler than the next one. And it's the image of you that goes out around the world. When you try to, you want to do business with other people in other parts of the world, or you want to unite with your own people in other parts of the world, they think they know you, and they think that you are these characters. So this is what the problem is. Even the original Good Times, which we've been making a differentiation because it did have a couple of good aspects about it. Usually they would have some positive message that they would try to give. They certainly had the young character Michael, who had, you know, ambitions for improving himself and who also had a militant streak. It certainly had the mother and the father, you know, like working together, so on and so forth. Had a bunch of things. And the fact that she had, they had symbology, you know, wearing the afros. But the original Good Times had serious problems. In fact, the problems were so serious that Tony Browder shows a video of the guy who wrote The Choice. I can't think of his name right now. But the brother who wrote The Choice was over in China. And he met with an Asian guy who was asking him, he was really trying to make excuses. He said, that's not really y'all in those series. And he was talking about some of these sitcoms that they have. That's not really black people, is it, right? He thought it was like the way they did Charlie Chan, you know, not really an Asian, but a white person. They put a rubber band and make his eyes slant, that sort of thing. He thought it was that. And he was saying, that's not really black people writing that and acting in that, is it? And the guy said, no, unfortunately, yes, it is. He said, well, the Good Times, I know that's not black people, is it? And the guys, and when the brother told him, the Yeti, Sam Yeti, that's the one who wrote The Choice. When Yeti told him, yes, that those are black people, what the Chinese guy told him, and it's not true, but it still was very hurtful, was pointed. He said, a people who will do that themselves will never be free. I mean, he was being harsh and judgmental on us because, you know, but at the same time, it's something to think about, that other people think that if you debase yourself in that way, you couldn't possibly ever free yourself.
Mm-hmm. So let's go around the horn and see Mashinda, you there? Rasha Key, you got your voice back?
Everybody's muted.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna have it back.
Mashinda's here. I thought you were. Okay, but let me just go.
All right, I was gonna say a little something.
Go ahead, Rasha Key.
You know, my voice is terrible right now. That's why y'all don't see me.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is my reaction is I cannot sit and watch something like this. It is terrible. And what Brother Kwabena and Brother James is doing is phenomenal, phenomenal work and very brave. We need more brothers like you guys. And you guys always have an open invitation to come on our shows and give us this pertinent information because we have to fight. And I appreciate you, brothers. And keep up the great work. All right, Professor Rock.
Yeah. First of all, I'm saying Bonnie Gani to Dr. McIntosh and Brother Kwamenam and echo what you said.
And Jamma Sante.
Appreciating all their hard work. You know, back in the 50s, late 50s, the NAACP criticized Amos and Andy because of their depiction of us as a people. Then also in the 60s, they came out with a film, Lost, Stolen, and Astray, with
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby narrating. He criticized Stephen Fletcher and he criticized Mantan and Stymie and Buckwheat. So this is a continuation, but just on a more deprimental level because of the vulnerability psychologically they have put our people in, with young mothers and young fathers that, you know, walk around with no shirts on and tattoos and fix their cars in the driveway of the apartments and just play music so loud the people that go to work get sick. Just a challenge that they have pushed our people into. All these behaviors, learned behavior. And we're all products of this society. Some of us have escaped, like you and Brother Kwamena and Brother Rasha Key and myself, because I watch it just to educate people, not for entertainment, not to laugh at it, but just be able to pass the word on what I saw. I know it's hurtful and it's distressing, but that's part of the war. you're going to have casualties in front of you. And you just got to keep on fighting. You can't just say, well, I ain't going to fight no more. They're cheating. You know, it's a strange struggle. Now, what I hope before we leave the evening is you let us know if there's a way we can become a part of the organization that y'all represent, part of the struggle. I know you let us know about writing letters. Also, where we can send funds to aid you in your struggle, for those that have the resources that could send some money. Never be ashamed to say, hey, we got to get papers printed. We got to reach out. We got to pay for our time on our shows. Never be afraid to ask people to support the struggle. Second, you know, we always look for the good. There's a young lady, 17, got a doctorate degree, Black. They ain't going to put that on. You understand? We have to sort of put the positives up. As Elijah Muhammad said, when you have a dirty glass, don't get mad at the glass, just put a clean glass up beside it. And I believe in that. But there's so much positive going on with regards to Black youth that are excelling academically, scientifically, athletically, in every aspect of social life. But the whole purpose of us is to seek liberation, to free ourselves so we can be ourselves, so we can name ourselves after African people, adopt our African philosophy or Afrocentric philosophy, and live by that ethics and code. Liberation is not only physical, but it's mental and spiritual. And it's one in which we have to encourage people that's the freedom we want, not the freedom of choosing between McDonald's, Taco Bell, and Pizza Hut, but the freedom of to be ourselves as the people, to love, appreciate our achievements from where we were to where we are. When you look at these type of movies, they make you think we ain't made no progress. From a conscience and struggle standpoint, as Frederick Douglass say, without struggle, there's no progress, never will, never would be. So I just think that y'all struggle. We got to wake the people up, and ministers and a way to get to, you get a bigger bullhorn. See, that when they show this movie, millions see it. And as Kwame Nam said, 700,000 rejected it, or 7,000, I can't remember the number, and compared to 1,000 or 2,000 or 700 that liked it. But that's a good sign. But we got to get a bigger bullhorn and get people interested in this movement, not only the depiction of this movie, but some of the movies that Brother 50 Cent are putting on Stars. I mean, it's all about robbing, stealing, dope, killing, and getting away with it. And when they came out with New Jack City, brother said, I don't care if I die rich, young, that's all right. At least I was rich when I died. I mean, all kinds of subliminal suggestions in that. And so I'm just saying, you know, we go back to Superfly, the original Superfly. Who were brothers trying to get out the dope deal, and they turned it around, fighting the police who was providing the dope. And the thing was, we were glorifying dope. Now we were exposing who bring those things into the community. And so we got to see who all invested in this thing, not just the producers. They generally don't use their money. They generally have other people that screen it and give them money to produce it or look at the script. So it's a protracted struggle, and it's on all levels. And we got people in key positions that can get that information. But you gotta know that we want it and continue to struggle. And I just think that letter you wrote was fantastic, Brother Dr. McIntosh. And the way Kwame Nam read it, it excites you. And even if it's just the heading of a petition of people that want to stop spending their money with Netflix and also criticize the producers and the publishers, the writers, everybody that was a part of making it. So I just say, let's continue the struggle, brother. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, brother.
Right on.
Marcus Garvey said, challenge the thought of any book or other literature that dishonors or discredits you in any particular way and give it the widest publicity so as to undo the harm intended. Mm-hmm. Now, that's what we're trying to do, and that's what we need more than money is we need people. You know, we're going to look silly if we go out on the picket line on June the 5th and we got two people in California and two people in New York. So the key thing we're trying to get people to do, we made a list of various things we ask people to do. We want people to cancel their Netflix subscriptions. We want people to sign the petition that we've distributed in the link on various emails and stuff. We want people to then use the power of multiplication. If you're in a church, if you're in a mosque, if you're in a temple, if you're in a shrine, if you're in a synagogue, whatever it is that you're in, or you're in a fraternity or sorority or organization, to go there and proselytize, go there and get others to do the same thing that you just did. And then lastly, you know, we're going to need people on the line. We need people to distribute this stuff that we've, you know, the letter just going to one man does nothing. But if everybody, if we have those 70,000 people that took the time to give a thumbs down, would send that letter to some other person, get other people to do it and do those things we just said, this battle will be won. And especially if we have 70,000 people come out on the line. And it's not impossible. I've seen it done before. When I was a young man, they had these criteria that they said were the prerequisites or the risk factors for AIDS, and one of them was being from Haiti. And about 200,000 Haitians marched across the Brooklyn Bridge. And I'm telling you, almost the next day, the CDC changed those things that they said were risk factors for being, because it was ridiculous and bogus anyway, but they weren't going to change it. They would just leave it that way. But when enough people came out, they backed down. And these people will back down. It's just a matter of, we got to have people come out. We've got to have people punish them economically. They've had at least 1 year in the last three or four where they only had a 0.66% profit. So that's something that's within range. What Martin Luther King said in his mountaintop speech, the last speech he gave before he was killed, was that with everything we do, I'm paraphrasing, you know, with our demonstrations and all that, but whatever we do, he said, we have to attach with it economic sanctions. And he specifically said to boycott Seal Tests, Wonder Bread, Coca-Cola, and those things. And as I said before, they killed him actually the very next day. But he definitely saw the way, and that is something that we have to impose. See, a demonstration, all a demonstration is going to do is bring attention to the matter. A letter is going to, it does something also, but economic sanctions, stopping those subscriptions to Netflix, is going to be the main thing that does the trick. But the only way that we're going to be able to make a critical mass is if each person fails to see this as a spectator sport. You know, people tell us, yeah, you're doing good, that's great, but everybody's got to do what Quabbin is doing. And if everybody does what Quabbin is doing and I'm doing and people from CEMOTAP, then we'll be successful. Without it, CEMOTAP can't do anything by itself. We've bankrupted a newspaper before, and we got hate radio hosts off the air before, but it wasn't just us. It was the people that followed us and supported us and were the ground troops that made those things happen.
And so you mentioned petitions. There are petitions out there, and what's one of the things we ask the people to do is go to change.org and sign a petition. There's a petition to cancel this Netflix animated minstrel show, Good Times. And there's several petitions that are out there already. Again, the people are really outraged about this. So demonstrations, Dr. Mitchum, on Wednesday, June 5th, 5 o'clock, 888 Broadway in New York City. There'll be a demonstration, Stop the Reboot. That's Netflix corporate office, corporate headquarters in New York City. Largest city in the United States. Second largest city in the United States, in Los Angeles. There's also 5 o'clock, Wednesday, June 5th, a demonstration at their Los Angeles corporate offices, corporate headquarters, 5808 Sunset Boulevard. That's Sunset and Van Ness, just off the Hollywood Freeway. That's where their corporate headquarters is. That's where their headquarters is in LA. So next Wednesday, June 5th, 5 o'clock in New York, then 5 o'clock in Los Angeles. Large population of Africans there. We need to be out there, need people to come out there and support this demonstration and show them that we're not playing with this.
So you know where it's going to be in Los Angeles?
5808 Sunset Boulevard.
Okay.
That's on Sunset and Van Ness, just off the Hollywood Freeway.
Okay. Get the word out. I'll get the word out.
Right on. Like Malcolm said, right. No more days like this. We got to, you know, I thought about one thing when Dr. McIntosh was talking about the image around the world. And I, you know, again, traveling home to the mama land and having to check Africans for dropping N-bombs on us. Like, dude, come on. You know, my other friend of mine went to South Africa, Azania, and somebody dropped the N-bomb on him out there. And, you know, just but they're not understanding this is what they're getting, and other places too. And I thought about Philando Castile. When he told that policeman, thinking about George Floyd in Minneapolis, but he told a policeman in Minneapolis, yeah, I got a gun. And definitely he got scared, most likely because of the images that he's seen, just started shooting him with his baby, with a young girl in the backseat, his girlfriend right there, just started shooting him. And, you know, Malcolm addressed this again in Los Angeles in 1962 or 63, when Ronald Stokes got killed, and how the media, the press, puts out that image of us. And it makes the people side with the police or side the image of us, makes us vulnerable to too much of this crap. Not an excuse, but it's what it is.
Yeah, with Castillo, he said he had a permit and they still shot him. Remember, and it's a struggle. What I'm saying, and appreciate what everybody said, if I understand correctly, when we built the Million Man March, I was a part of the movement on the second one. We met at the sister that was president of the Negro Women Association, Dorothy Heights Center. They had just bought it in D.C. Me, Dr. Karenga, Bang Bakewell, a lot of the nationalists, along with Minister Farrakhan, met. They were going to make it the covenant, and we changed it to the Million Man More, because Farrakhan said this was going to be the covenant march. But, you know, we changed it. My point is that we had, see, there was two parts to the Million Man March. There was the Million Man March and the Day of Absence. In the Day of Absence, nobody was supposed to work, and they all were supposed to go to workshops and study groups. Haki, Mali Bhuti, and Dr. Karenga wrote the mission statement for the first Million Man March. Now, my point is that people, we be thinking people, are where we at, and they ain't. I've been in this since 1965. Workshops, telling them how to sign the petition, where to get the petition, got to be repetitive. And you got to, you know, this is a long period story. It's not just to stop Netflix. It's to be an army to stop anything come out negative about us in the media that's sponsored by online or just motion picture. That the people trust us. And winning the hearts and minds of the people is a challenge. And I'm not being defeated or saying just asking people to sign petition, but I know that we need to teach them how and where to get it. And, whew, man, because we need a massive rejection of Netflix, a massive. And to reach them, you need an army of leaders that, even if they just can get 50 people in each urban area, not city, all the area of conscious people. But for example, the brothers and sisters in where Michael Brown was killed. Well, not, what was that?
St. Louis.
But it started with L.
Ferguson, St. Louis area.
Ferguson. Yeah. There's some young brothers there that organized. I don't know if they still organize. And even the people against the guns. Now I'm not, you know, look, I'm old now. You know, I can't get around like I used to. But, you know, we realize the importance of educating people. Because it's hard when you don't have the media that the TV have and the sponsorship. So it's got to be a ground root movement. And you got some key people, the Grand, a veteran of the struggle, but the Grand like me, I'm 76, he's 80, you know? And so, you know, we watched Dr. Ben and John Henry Clark go down as they age. Ivan Van Sertima, Amos Wilson, Bobby Wright. So it's the young people like yourselves that got to your heart and your efforts is in the right place. But we got to come up with strategies to reach the masses. So some of these radio shows, even radio shows we don't even like, they would have us on it. Like that dude Martin come on YouTube. I forget his name.
Roland Martin?
Yeah, Roland Martin should have y'all on with this. You know, and we got to write letters to him and say we want to come on the show. Because you want to reach millions. You want to reach at least 100,000 every time. This presentation y'all doing is too powerful for just to try to walk in. Put it on doors, you know? I mean, even that, I ran for office, that's how I got elected. Man, going out there and trying to reach the masses, you'd be surprised how dense the community is as far as people. And you reach one, but when you're on that media, you're in their house. You're in their house, that's why they spend so much on it, you know? Advertising, you know, people think they watching TV, they watching advertising. Yeah. So I'm just saying that, you know, I'm gonna do my part and I'm gonna talk to LeGrand because we talk all the time, we text each other all the time and see what the strategy is for Los Angeles. And, you know, you got Obatir Shock and them up in San Francisco. Even the Muslims should be on top of this. The Nation of Islam, Farrakhan, them should be talking about this, you know. But and I'm still saying we got to fundraise. You got to. I know you know we did things because it was right in the 60s, and most of them organizations went broke. You know, I mean, you got to have some capital to fight because you need weapons. And the weapons is mass media, buying ads, and getting the word out. And even your rallies, you got to get the word out, get a radio station and celebrity and marquee names to headline it so that the masses will come out. And then you may not reach but maybe 50% of the masses to turn out, but at least you got a good crowd and you try to deputize them, have booths set up, and have people working booths to sign up and to do things. And, you know, because let me say this and I'll shut up. When Ron Sells was killed in LA, I mean, in Signal Hill, hung in the police sheriff station, and I was a part of that struggle, we wanted to make it a national struggle, not just about him, because they were killing Black people everywhere. And his parents, you know, I knew him well because they asked me to be a part of it. But, you know, they wanted They wanted the strength. But soon as they got the settlement, they stopped being a part of the movement. You understand? And I'm just saying that, man, this is you said it in the beginning, this is a global dynamic. And we're on the right track, but we just got to get the resources and the young people, you know, like they demonstrating against Gaza. We should be having the same demonstrations about this, but we got to reach them BSUs and out there form alliances with people against the war. They got to educate them people, say, if you're against the war, you should be against this mental genocide that we're facing and subliminal genocide that we're facing. But anyway, that's about it for me. Ooh, boy, that was beautiful, that letter and y'all.
Right on, Professor, appreciate you, man. That when you mentioned Ron Settles, man, there's a memorial for him, Signal Hill, this coming
I was on the committee to help them put it on.
Okay. Yeah, that's my homeboy from Delamo in the Carson area. So yeah, he went to Fanny, man. That was
That's where their parents live. Carson. Don and Helen's dead now.
Wow.
But see, when we started, what made this movement different from others, they were resourceful. He was a big real estate man, she was a teacher. And they had relatives and friends that had money. And they'd meet every week and they would get out the menace and the organization and they built structure. And, you know, and we kept the students alive on campus by having rallies every week. And that's why we were able to mobilize big groups.
Wow.
But then,
CEMOTAP, as you know, with LeGrand out west and but in New York, this committee to eliminate media offensive to African people, like Doctor was saying, is that's the task. And I started reaching out to them, Willie. When this music, so you start working on this music piece, I started reaching out to them right away. I said, hey, y'all got to be on this, man. We need your help on this one. And they work with us. So
I'm gonna call LeGrand tomorrow.
Right on, man. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate y'all.
All right.
June 5th.
June 5th. Right. We're going to have to close tonight. I got to give the computer to my daughter for tutoring.
All right.
So tomorrow, let me show what we got tomorrow. Just a second here.
Why are you doing that? Any last words, Kwamenah? Because everybody else gone.
This just so important that we address this, and appreciate you again getting with Attorney LeGrand. I talked to him earlier, him and Lynn, and you know, just to make this since again, there's so many people who are against this, mobilize the people and organize the people so we can go like you said too, deal with this one and go beyond, make it where this doesn't become easy for them to do. Huh?
That music, you all that work you did on the music. Half the people haven't heard the criticisms you be making, critiques. Yeah, that man, I love the way you put that together about them lyrics and them songs. Because most people my age don't even listen. I'm like Roski, because they ain't the Dells or the Temptation, the Miracles. I don't listen.
I heard that. I understand.
So.
I got to send you our link to our Friday night conscious hip hop and classic funk show because we mellow it out too. You probably love it, man. We play a lot of the stuff from back in the day.
Please do.
So we got Asa Ala on tomorrow. He's a food nutritional researcher. So true natural food and its relationship to health. That'll be another good one.
Yeah.
Right on.
Kwamenah.
Yes.
You got Pilsen?
Yes.
Okay. My phone number is 310.
Okay.
505.
Okay.
2358. And my you got it?
Your email?
Amin Ra 10 10. @yahoo.com.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Right on. I'll send you my information via text.
All right.
All right. So each one conscious corner.
All right.
Everybody have a good evening.
Take a pause.